Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. During football season, we are lucky enough to be joined every Wednesday at 4 o'clock by our Odyssey Sports NFL insider, Brian Baldinger. The insider call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, here we are, man. We've got to talk to you every week of the football season because the Eagles just keep winning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Spike, I'm good. I'm good to be with you. I'm just leaving Mobile right here, kind of getting down there for a couple of days to look at some of the kids that are coming up. So I just remember last year, you know, guys named like Quinyon Mitchell and, you know, these guys were down here last year. We all got to take a look at them and we've seen what they're doing right now. A year later, Cooper DeJean, they were both there a year ago. Mm-hmm. And now you look at these kids and they're just, you know, remarkable NFL players.
Well, the defensive end of the draft, by the way, this year, and you mentioned those, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, but Jalix Hunt played 40 snaps in the NFC Championship game as a fifth-round pick. And who knows what he ends up being. But man, this will be a draft that will change the course of the Eagles' defense for hopefully for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, they're on their way for sure. You can't, you know, to see the development of Nolan Smith, you know, what he's doing right now. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, you see the continued improvement from the safety position. I mean, there's not a weakness right now, Ike, on the defense.
Yeah.
And so maybe Kansas City can do what they did to Buffalo and come up with some new formations and some different things that they did to try to penetrate it. But they've got their work cut out for them against this defense.
And to me, it's really the biggest difference from 2022. Now, 2022, no disrespect to those guys. They had a tremendous front four or front eight as they rotated guys up there. They set a record for sacks, and they did those things. But I like the youthfulness of this defense. I like the versatility of this defense. And we have the mastermind behind the design of the defense. Man, to take this defense, Baldy, from 30th ranked last year, or maybe even 32nd ranked last year, to the number one ranked defense this year. Man, Vic Fangio, I know he's up for assistant coach of the year, but man, we talk about all these other parts of this team. Vic Fangio has done a miraculous job in one year turning this defense around.
I agree. And, you know, it's, you know, they drafted very well, and obviously Zach Bond is an MVP candidate of this entire league defensively.
Yep.
You see what he just did, you know, last week, punching a ball out and recovering a fumble. And, you know, I mean, he just filled up the stat sheet all year long. But, yeah, I mean, it's really remarkable. I mean, it's a completely different defense than 2 years ago. I mean, James Bradbury was at right corner 2 years ago. And like you said, no disrespect to James. He had a nice run, nice career. But, I mean, Quinyon Mitchell is completely different player. I mean, his tackle, the two-point conversion, the way these guys tackle in the quick game and just – not even to let any receiver block them out there in the perimeter. I mean, the Chiefs like to do a lot of that stuff, but I can't see that stuff. The way that they defend those plays, I can't see them having much success against this secondary right now.
Baldy, want to touch on Sunday's NFC Championship game before we move on to the Super Bowl. The Eagles scored 55 points in their biggest offensive output of the year. What did you see that was different that allowed them to sort of explode like that?
Play, you go 60 on the first play. I mean, whatever jitters you might have had going into the game are gone. Like, you put a touchdown on the board, you know, the first play, you're like, everybody is already excited going, we've got this. And then you take the go shot, you know, to A.J. Brown against Marshawn Lattimore, and you drop it perfectly in the bucket, and you're getting big chunk plays like that. And then, you know, the offensive line took over the whole game, you know, whether it was protection or giving Jalen, you know, time and a comfort to make, you know, a lot of different type of throws. You know, and then they worked in, you know, because they sustained offense, they got to get into the offense. And that was a big problem all year long to start games, in the first half of games specifically. But, you know, the RPO game was really, really strong. Got the ball out, made some really quick decisions. You know, and I just thought that the receivers were just so much better than what they were going up against in Washington. So the line gave Jalen time, and then the execution of it, you know, allowed them to go up and down the field. You know, and then, you know, they got four more takeaways, so they've got 10 in three games. So they took the ball away in each quarter. In each quarter, they capitalized on it. So, you know, the defense really contributed with the takeaways and giving them good field position.
You mentioned the performance of the offensive line. I keep going back to the toughness I thought displayed by Landon Dickerson in the first half and then Cam Jurgens to come in the second half as a real testament, not only to the toughness of the offensive line, but how together the team is to do something like that. Dickerson couldn't even walk, it didn't seem like, and he was able to stick it out through the rest of that half.
Yeah, he's hurt a lot, though. I mean, I haven't seen it with his knee like that, but he's played with a lot of different injuries. That guy, you never know it. But I think the most remarkable thing is, all right, we know Cam Jurgens is severely hurt, and he's been battling a bad back for most of the year. But he is dressed. So you're like, okay, only an emergency. But it was an emergency.
Yep.
And, you know, they got to switch two positions to fix one. They got to, you know, go put the left guard in the center, you know, and to replace to start with. And they got to go do the same thing again. You know, and then so, and you know, that's not easy to do, but that's mm-hmm. credit to how they prepare and, you know, getting the next guy up. And they've been doing that all year long, whether it's Fred Johnson or Tyler Steen coming in. And so they had to do it in a big spot, in a big game against good players in Washington, and they handled it without, you know, without skipping a beat.
Baldy, you've been on this train from the beginning. They got to the postseason. You said they would go 4-0. They've gone 3-0. Do you like how they're playing going into the Super Bowl? You like what you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I love what I'm seeing. Yeah. I mean, I thought that they would improve as they went through the postseason. I thought each game would present a different type of challenge. But, you know, when you're plus 10 in the turnover ratio in three games,
yeah,
I mean, that might not continue. You know, you can never count on that. But they're taking it away. I mean, they studied a lot of film on how to punch the ball out. And so, you know, they're doing it right now regularly. And if I was Kansas City, you know, I'd be prepared for everybody that's, you know, knocking a ball loose. But not just the takeaways, but the way that they're playing in the trenches on both sides of the ball. You saw how Buffalo ran the ball against Kansas City. When they really wanted to run the ball against them, they could do it. And I think the Eagles can do the same thing. And I think they have the best player in the league in Saquon. And all they got to do is just give him a runway. And I think he'll do the rest. I think he's going to have a good game. I thought they would go 4-0. I haven't, you know, wavered at all on it. I think they go to New Orleans to take care of business.
The crazy thing about Saquon is it seems like he is getting better as the season goes on. And you mentioned starting off the way they started off. It's pretty impressive when he does that and you're not at all surprised, right? Like, it's just like, oh, there's Saquon going for another 70-yard touchdown.
Damn, I missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all true. And, you know, he's not slowing down at all. In past years, he's had a number of different injuries that slowed him down. He hasn't really been injured this year, at least to his legs. And so those things, his legs are fresh. He's always been in shape. He always works hard to stay in shape. And so you don't see any slowdown right now. You've seen the same ability to cut last week that he showed week three against New Orleans when he went for 16 in the fourth quarter, set up their first score. And, you know, if you give him a runway, he's going to make your secondary look bad because he's either going to outrun him or he's going to make a miss like he did in the first play. So those runs are there. He almost broke another one. He got tripped up at the 3-yard line, but he was going in to score again. So, you know, the combination of Jalen and the mesh point and trying to defend both Jalen and Saquon gave Washington a lot of fits. I think it will give, you know, I know Spags wants to get after the quarterback and heat him up, but if you're running the ball the way they're running it, it's hard to blitz. It's hard to do that.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned Jalen a few times. He had one of his best games of the year, if not his best game of the year, on Sunday. Do you think they'll need that sort of performance again from him in the Super Bowl? But I guess that's the question.
You know, we got to see how the game goes. The flow of the game sometimes dictates that, Ike, but I would imagine they're going to need it. I mean, you got to be at your best. This is Kansas City. They're highly motivated to go for a three-peat. They started talking about it, you know, on the field last year in Las Vegas. They were talking about a three-peat. So they've been thinking about it. It's highly motivating, that whole organization. So I think it's going to make the Eagles be at their very, very best. And, you know, the RPO game was good. The play-action pass game was good. The deep shot worked. I think Jalen's got to be good. And, you know, the thing that's just fascinating by him is in this, you know, not counting the Week 16 game where he was concussed, you know, he's 13-0, and he's thrown 18 touchdown passes and one interception. He's not putting the ball in harm's way. Will he do that against Kansas City? I don't think so, but you don't know what anybody's going to do in that moment in a big spot. I just hope, as opposed to 2 years ago, they don't paint the whole field with some crazy logo and everybody's flipping out there, you know, like they did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I hope it's just a really good field in New Orleans, like they saw week three against them. They played in that building earlier this year. They know that field well. They had success there. It wasn't a pretty game. But I think all those things kind of matter when you factor in what you need to get done and the comfort level you got to have, you know, to start fast like the Eagles did last week.
One more, Baldy. The Patrick Mahomes, 8-0 against Vic Fangio. Now, does that speak more to Patrick Mahomes winning most of the games that he plays, or do you think that there's anything more to that?
Well, I mean, he won his first 16 games against Denver, and Vic was there for, you know,
right,
a chunk of it. So
right,
he didn't lose to Denver.
Yep.
You know, and so his Patrick Mahomes' first start in this league was against Denver, and he beat him. Like, he never lost to him until last year.
Wow.
You know, I mean, so he was undefeated. I mean, he's only lost 3 games in the division period since he's been in there. But, yeah, I mean, Vic didn't have a chance. It was, you know, it wasn't just Vic. It was, you know, the whole thing. Kansas City just had their number. So, but, look, I mean, Vic, you know, some of Vic's staples travel. Like, you know, he's in a 2-deep high shell every play. He doesn't reveal what he's doing until the snap. I mean, Patrick, you know, has seen that. So he's not going to be – good quarterbacks, it's good if you get a pre-snap read. But it's a lot better if you can read a defense once the ball snapped. And, you know, Mahomes has every single thing necessary in order to defeat any defense. He's got outlets. He's got speed. He's got, you know, Hall of Fame tight end. He's got a Pro Bowl right guard, Pro Bowl center, you know, first-team All-Pro left tackle. I mean, he's got everything you need to be a really good offense.
All right, Baldy. Well, we'll see you in New Orleans, mm-hmm, I assume.
I'm going to make an appearance down there. I got to be in L.A. doing our pregame show for the network on Sunday. But I'll make an appearance down there for sure.
All right. Well,
we can't have a football week without Baldy.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I feel the same way, Ike. So I'll get in and get out.
All right, Baldy.
All right, brother.
Thanks as always. Talk to you next week, man.
Fun. Okay, you got it.
All right, thanks, Baldy. There he goes. Brian Baldinger, who thinks he's only talking to Ike.
Well,
Laser focused.
It's unbelievable.
Also says it was a good football question.
Yes,
I
know.
Yeah, he thought it was me.
Couldn't even imagine it came from me. Couldn't even imagine it.
It's the best one-sided rivalry in the show's history.
Yeah, I could, to be honest with you, I understand the Lombardi thing. I understand that one, even though I love Mike or whatever. Yeah. I didn't know Baldy had a problem with me.
I think Baldy's just locked in.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He just finished watching O-line versus D-line.
Yes, yeah.
He was a little hot and bothered. He was watching the trenches. And he's in the airport. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you know, do you remember when I used to do record for Colonial Hyundai? I used to do this thing, Sports in 60, where I record like a little, you know, editorial or whatever.
Oh, I remember those.
So I continued to do them when I moved to WFAN. I had to do one when I had forgotten I had to do it. I was in an airport and Moshe texts me and he's like, you got to do Sports in 60.
He's a relentless pit bull,
yes,
too.
Yes. And I was like, I can't find that. Where could I go? Blah, blah, blah. And I went into, in the airport, they have those little pods where women can nurse their children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I used.
There you go.
I was like, look, if somebody sees me coming out of this, like, it is what it is.
I mean, tough scene.
That's a picture that's on the internet. I'm going to have to do it, but I needed a quiet place, and there was no quiet place in the airport.
I think Paul Feinbaum is always in damn bathroom when he does his hits for ESPN.
Oh, really?
Or something, some sort of a pod or a lounge.
Well, I tried a bathroom, but it was too echoey.
Right, too echoey.
So yeah. I needed a comfortable little room, and it was only the nursing pod. So there you go. If you saw me there, that's what I was doing. 215-592-9494. Does it mean anything to you, more to you, to beat Andy in the Super Bowl? Bob and Delran, you're on WIP. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how are you doing?
What's up, brother?
I usually don't call you guys. I call the guys on Saturday. So, the Eagles show. One. But hey,
that's AAA compared to this, Bob. Come on, Bob.
Yeah, well, and I like Fritz. He's kind of grown on me. At first, I didn't like him, but he's got this edge to him, which I kind of
He's grown on
he's
me
like
too.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Chamberlain comments.
You can't win them all.
He's not perfect.
Yeah. Together with one last thing before I get to my mind, Fritzy, I want to get you. You have to get together with Sonny Hill and let him explain it to you. He's forgotten more basketball than probably all of us combined. Mm. So just you'll get it.
Oh yeah, well, get right on that. Yeah.
Whoa, that's pretty. I don't know about that.
Right.
But here's my point, Spike.
Yeah.
I'm totally on board about Jalen. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's not elite. So I agree with all that thing. I think the one thing, and I'm kind of a geek in watching the coaches' tapes that they sell, you know, online.
Yep.
One thing that doesn't make him an elite is and you all know this, I think he's ranked like 29th or 30th as far as getting rid of the ball, and it frustrates him. We all know he's low, but he's got to figure out a way to make those decisions faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's any way you can train it. I think he's a smart guy. I just think he's not as fast as, obviously, Mahomes. Burrow's like the master. He's just like, boom, check one, check two, check three, boom. Get rid of it. I think if he can get up a little bit higher and get better at that, he can get to that elite status. I don't know if that can be trained or is that a God-given gift. Maybe, you know, your thoughts on that.
Well, here's my thing. I think because elite is so subjective, you know, depending on what someone is looking for to put him in an elite category, this is mainly being discussed if they win the Super Bowl. I don't view him as an elite quarterback just off of going to two Super Bowls and that sort of thing. I view him as a top 10 quarterback in the league. But if he wins one, I don't know how does he not join the elite group if the other guys are in the elite group. You see what I'm saying? Like, at least he has to join the group. Have him in front of Burrow or what have you, but he at least has to be in that group with the elite quarterbacks. I think Russell Wilson was in that elite group of quarterbacks for a while there.
Would you put Stafford in there?
No. I don't view Stafford as an elite quarterback. I think Stafford was fortunate that he got traded to the Rams with a stacked squad and won a Super Bowl. Other than that, Stafford has been the same quarterback he's been his entire career.
Can I ask you one more question?
The last question.
This is on the Detroit Lions. I hear everybody, like before they lost, everybody kept saying, and again, I'm going to pat myself on the back, but a lot of people were saying how great they were. But I kept saying they have 17 to 18 guys on their injury reserve, mostly on the defense. You can't win a Super Bowl that way. I'm sorry. Like, I think you know, if you lose that much talent off your roster, it's going to catch up at some point.
Some point.
And it did.
And, yeah, to the tune of 45.
Like, yes.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, Detroit was always on borrowed time, right? It was a matter of whether or not could they get there and overcome all the adversity they had with the different lineups. Yeah, that's why some fans felt confident with the Eagles if they had to go to Detroit and play Detroit because they felt like they wouldn't be able to stop the Eagles.
By the way, what would have happened, too, if they didn't turn the ball over like they turned over?
Against Washington.
Against Washington.
That was a tight game.
Yeah, what's the word I'm looking at? As deficient as they were on defense with all those injuries, if they don't turn the ball over, they still probably win the game. Or
14 points on defense? I mean,
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on Detroit from a big picture standpoint. I didn't expect them to lose the first home game at home to a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
One last point about Detroit. If they get all those guys back next year, then they will be a force to reckon. No one's good. They will be a big force to be reckoned with. I think we'll still beat them, but they're going to be a force.
Well, it'll be interesting. They're going to lose both their coordinators.
Yep.
Well, they've lost both their coordinators.
Next question today, based on Oprah's birthday, is give us somebody who's only known by one name. What do you got?
Pele, the famous
Pele is a
Ooh, how
great
about that?
One.
Yeah, you definitely old school. I love that one.
Yeah, that's
Pele.
One
come on, man.
Jack doesn't know that one.
No come on, man. We're number 10. That's why everyone wears number 10 now. Your best player.
Quick thing.
That's something I wouldn't have known, that Pele wore number 10.
I didn't know he wore number 10
either. I'm watching both
soccer
shopping.
Guy.
Yeah. He was elite.
Yeah. A quick thing, and a non-laughing thing.
Yes.
His name was Tyler Sabapathy. He was 18 years old, Temple student, who was one of the people who climbed the poles outside after the NFC Championship game, a Temple student, and he passed away, which is horrible. I look, nobody wants to be fun police at all, but... When everybody's drinking out there, there were two things I saw. I always get nervous. I'm a nervous guy anyway. Mm-hmm. I get nervous seeing drunk guys sitting 25 feet, 30 feet on the top of a light pole above a street, right?
Oh,
there's not a net there.
Right.
And there was the other video, the guy firing gun in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I guess my message would be, let's have fun. Let's be unruly. Let's drink. Let's scream. All that stuff. The stuff, this kind of stuff is just... You don't want a mark like this on a celebration, you know? And this poor guy lost his life. His family lost a son, a friend, all those things. And the gun thing, it's fun in games when you're shooting in the air until you drop the gun, it goes off, and it hits somebody that's not supposed to. So,
I would imagine you weren't of a sober mind
at
that time. So that makes it even more dangerous.
Yes, and it honestly means, and it's hard to, that's what alcohol does. Alcohol makes you, you know, take chances you wouldn't normally take, all that sort of stuff. So it's just, it's sad that we had such a celebration, something like this happened. So if we are lucky enough to have another celebration, what I would do
is just
be smart.
Mm-hmm.
Drink your head off. Have a good time. Don't drive. Don't take a gun out. The polls thing is funny until it's not anymore, by the way. And now, I think it's not.
I will say this. Probably 95% of the people partied the right way.
Yes. Yep.
Partied
absolutely.
The right way, enjoyed themselves.
Yep.
There's always going to be some knuckleheads. But like you just said, you have a tragic accident happen like that. And that's what then becomes a cloud over everything. But by large in part, mostly everybody enjoyed themselves and had a good time.
Yep.
And did it responsibly. Shortest little damage out there, but some of that is expected.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm with Spike. This is something, you don't want our good time to be overshadowed by a few people doing something that's reckless and really just not as thoughtless of everybody else around you.
And it's... This part, the thing about the Temple suit is incredibly sad.
Yeah, it is.
And these things, you know, sometimes there are accidents that happen in life that are unavoidable, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's two people are driving, hits black ice. Those are things that are unavoidable. These things are avoidable. So
it hit black ice.
Yeah, dude, I was like, well, hold on.
What?
Why did I? You're good.
What did I do?
Nothing.
Are you not allowed to say black ice?
No, you can.
Yeah.
You
said, and it still sounds like you're saying black guys.
Black guys. I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm on. All you had to do is look at him, because his ears perk up at anything.
Jeez Louise. Black guys.
I didn't know exactly what he thought you said.
Yeah. Black ice. When you're driving.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like ice. Because they're idiots.
It's just. Yeah. So I was like, where are you going with this, buddy?
Yeah. Well,
since we got.
Yeah.
Since we're down this path?
Yeah.
Well, what do we got? What do we got?
For our motorists, people out there driving during those times.
Oh, yeah.
Be patient.
Yes.
Or keep your butts at home.
Yes.
You know the streets are filling up.
Yes.
Driving through the crowd is that's not good either.
Paul George. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go
the
long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know what you're in for. Like,
go the long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
But we all know where it happens. It happens at Broad Street. It happens at Philmont and Bustleton in the Northeast.
Yeah.
We all know where these big crowds are going to be. You know, either wait it out or go the long way.
Yes.
Go around it. Because if you're anything like me, I could even drive into it knowing that it's going to be that way. But as soon as I'm in the middle of it and nobody will get out of my way, that's when you start cursing and yelling and getting frustrated.
Oh, and like most people would.
Yes.
And that's why I'm saying avoid that.
Avoid it.
Yes.
Avoid it. So those are your safety tips from the WIP Afternoon Show.
Sorry, man. Who says we're not responsible?
Yes. Black ice.
Black ice.
By the way.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Don't go out there running over black guys.
No, please don't do that.
Nope.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
All right. The brand new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
There's a transition.
With a new WIP employee in the top five.
And multiple pieces of audio, including from one member who's often considered in the top five, proclaiming he deserves top status.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I bet I know who that is.
Yeah.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. If it's your first time listening to us, thank you. You're not going to find a better radio show anywhere in Philadelphia.
I like to do the show blind.
Ike does the show blind. You didn't know that.
I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from either.
So every week, Wednesday through the football season, Wednesdays at 4:30, we give you the power rankings of our first ever Eagles Insider of the Year award, which we will award a week after the Super Bowl, I think. And there have been ups and downs. There have been a lot of new number ones. There have been people in and out of the power rankings. But, you know, as they say, Jack, Ike, this is nut cutting time.
Exactly.
You know, this is when the real superstars shine through.
Yes.
And it's big that we, and people, as we'll hear in this top five, people are trying to angle for their position in the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. So oh, here it is.
Insider of the Year power rankings.
I feel like it's bad vibes for me to screw it up, but there we go. Last week's power rankings, number five, 6ABC's Jason Dumas. Number four, D. Gunn. Number three, WIP's Elliot Shore Parks. Number two, WIP and the Eagles' Brandon Graham. And number one, Tim McManus, who has been steady the entire season.
Yes.
Getting the stories, writing great stories. He's shined in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do have one gentleman who has been in the power rankings a bunch. It was number one for a lot of time, but the Eagles season has been so successful, he's had trouble getting scoops, and he had an enormous screw-up on Sunday. And that is the newspaper reporter.
And as we all know, like, mistakes get magnified in the postseason.
Absolutely.
You can't say Cam Jurgens is out and bang, there he is.
Yes. He reported Cam Jurgens was out while I saw 10 other tweets that said Cam Jurgens was active. So the newspaper reporter drops out of the top five. Who knows if he can recover from this?
Yeah. Well, again, it's not always about being first. It's about being accurate.
And first.
Correct.
First and accurate. Now, there are some things that they're going to be able to hunt for after the Super Bowl. You would assume the Sirianni extension gets announced at some point. Yeah,
can Elliot at least get that scoop?
Yeah,
we know they're going to extend him.
Yeah, Sirianni loves you, buddy.
He loves you. You've been carrying the Eagles' water all year.
Yes.
Like, can they at least give him the Sirianni extension?
Come on. Come on. So here's this week's top five rankings. Now, remember, Elliot was number one 4 weeks ago. He's been dropping ever since.
Well, he's done nothing to add.
Nothing.
Zero.
Zero. So number five, D. Gunn, who has not had anything
since his
bad fan scoop, drops to five. Number four, Elliot Shore Parks.
Wow.
He drops to number four.
And he threatens to go even further down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I heard he was unhappy with his current ranking.
Well, he thinks he's the best, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he brought that complaint to the midday show.
If you have a brother, you kind of get the point you're making. All right, Elliot, let's end with this. So we had something we need to kind of investigate here. It happened Monday.
Monday
night.
Oh, yeah, you know it's coming.
Brandon Graham show. Let's hear it, and then we'll just talk about it.
Yeah, Elliot, this is probably not a very good look for you. So,
I'm excited to hear it.
All right, so, right at the very beginning of the Brandon Graham show, here's how it went.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Louder!
Fly, Eagles, fly. Score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3.
Elliot, what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's very obvious what happened, right? As arguably the top Eagles insider in this city, one of, you know, a credential-carrying media member, I have not sang that Eagles fight song in years. But that moment, the fans were into it. I couldn't help myself. So I did it. I messed up. I'll own it. But, you know, I won't make the same mistake again.
You know what? I think that's a very fair answer. Fair. I mean, like, it's true. Elliot's in the press box.
Hold up. He's pulling the Big J Journo card
exactly.
that he hasn't sung it in a while
exactly.
because he's a credential carrying member of the.
Well, that means he doesn't get to practice singing it a lot.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Come on.
Don't you let him. He's 37 years old.
Yes.
He started being in the media at, 26?
Yeah.
That means he has at least been an Eagles fan, you would think, in theory, given that he grew up in the area his first 25 years of life.
Come on.
Yeah, I hear you, but I know I must have spent. Probably, I don't know at what point in my career that I realized the second verse was not fly, Eagles
was
fly.
Fight.
It was fight. Yeah. I mean, because you just go along with the sort of the tone of the song, and it just seems like it should be fly, Eagles fly again.
Hit them high, hit them low.
I'm trying to help you out.
And by the way,
they're not buying it.
Hugh on site noticed right away. He told me, he's like, one of you guys screwed up the song. And I said, I did not screw up the song. Well, I sing it here every Monday.
And I'm always a stickler for Fight Eagles Fight. Because it's a true way to separate fraud from real.
Yep. And Elliot, fraud. So he's,
well, of course he's a fraud.
He drops to number four. And he says, arguably the top insider. Who's arguing for that? Number three, he has not been in the top five in months, is Ike Reese.
There we go.
Welcome back, buddy.
About time, man.
Now, you got to give credit to Tim McManus putting out that story about the harder practices, which gets you into the top five again.
Yeah.
As you had called for. Now, we don't normally give anyone credit for just calling for something to happen, and it happens, but.
Well, not only did I call for it, I actually argued passionately why it was a must and it was a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to say something in passing, but it's something when you believe in it and then it bears itself out in a story. I'm surprised I'm not higher than three.
Well, and here's another thing.
I'll take it.
Like, I think Ike's
I'm not surprised at all.
Ike's had a great year. I think it's been a great Ike on the Eagles year.
Thank you.
Another thing that has to be factored in, I would also like to take credit for this, but Ike's the main driver. I get it. I mean, our reaction to signing Saquon, and then
I agree,
and then into Saquon having the year that I think I should be on Eagles Insider of the Year.
Do you guys not know what insider means?
Well,
you guys liked Saquon.
We're just being right. Yeah.
Ultimately, it's just being right.
Yeah. Well, and this show has had a fight against local media, local fans, other programs on this station.
By the way, we're not even calling out the fans who argued, you found a running back anywhere. You know, your team, you don't win with a running back. When's the last time a running back won anything?
You build the trenches.
Look.
Shut up.
If next year you guys want an Eagles Takesman of the Year countdown, we could certainly do that. That
takes. I might be more in on that.
Yeah, Takesman of the Year.
See, I'm still in on the worm.
But insider. Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right, listen, I appreciate being recognized. I do. I felt like I had been forgotten over here, but it's okay.
Forgotten. Your name's first in the show.
As far as I'm Eagle Insider, the things that are important.
You're living off the Mekhi Becton thing.
Well, I'm just saying, exactly. Right. I got tired of that.
All right.
Well, he's an all-pro.
You guys didn't want to give me any credit for the practices.
Is he an all-pro or pro bowler?
Whatever.
Okay. Pro bowler. What is the difference?
Yes. Well, okay, we can go pro bowl and then
one
play
of us has,
flag
one of us
football.
Has been both. I'm just saying.
Yeah, one time.
Oh,
it's a good comeback.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's good. I was zero times all pizza.
All right, coming in at number.
See, I don't do that to you. Though.
No, yes. I know. Well, because it's not fun. It's like picking on a little. You know,
I do it.
But yeah, because I could stuff you in a locker.
Oh, now. Right. Sure, you could. All right, number two.
All right.
Stuff me in a locker. Number two in her first appearance.
Her?
Yes.
Oh, where are we going?
No, not yeah, Scoops.
Scoopston.
No, Scoops. Now that Scoops has that job, we're not going to see a lot
of Scoops. Inside Scoops.
No, not any Eagle Scoops out of Scoops.
And I'm monitoring her worm status. Don't you think?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, she's all wormed up.
She needs to get on here and say how great of an idea it is that Lurie's buying the Celtics.
Yep. Yeah, Devin not going to appear here.
Wow.
But WIP's own Ashlyn Sullivan.
Oh, Ashlyn, there you go.
So last week, Ashlyn had the scoop from Darius Slay saying that he only planned to play one more year and he does not expect to be an Eagle. So Sunday, he was planning for it to be his final game at the Link.
Yeah.
And then this week gets this conversation out of A.J. Brown, which I thought was insider stuff.
Well, what are you most proud of when you look back at the season and this team to make it there?
I'm just... staying resilient through during tough times. You know, it's easy to keep going during the positive times, but, you know, fighting through the tough times and keep pushing, you know, those uncomfortable talks, the uncomfortable situations, and just trying to make each other better. And, you know, at times, you know, it doesn't seem pretty, you know, because nobody's like to being chewed out, you know, but if a moment like these and for an opportunity like the one to come.
I mean, when you were in those uncomfortable moments, those uncomfortable conversations, yeah, did you have confidence you were going to make it back here?
Yeah. You know, you try to take it to another level. You know what it's like. You experienced it. You had a drop off last year, but you know what it takes, and you push yourself, and again, it's still not over.
A lot of yes.
He's trying, man.
He is. Chewed out.
He's trying.
Tough situations. Yeah. Tough conversations.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
that
trying.
That's a real. That's a not the scoop in the classic sense that. But getting AJ comfortable enough to say something like that?
Well, listen, thank God that we're still in a celebratory mood.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yes, that would have
there's a lot there to dive into and pick apart to figure out exactly what he's talking about. Because he basically validates some of the things that were out there that BG said about,
sure,
you know, as far as having the conversations behind closed doors, all those type of things. That's what he's talking about, I'm
yes,
assuming.
Yes.
The uncomfortable conversations. Just keep that book in his hand, man. Just keep him right. One more game, AJ.
Yeah. Just keep reading the book. Two more weeks.
He's telling you that he's holding on.
Yes.
He's trying to do the right things.
Do you think he puts Jalen in the elite category?
He's trying to do the right things. I'm trying to do the right things.
Right.
He's trying to do the right things, man.
Yep.
But on Ashland.
Yes.
Let me just say this.
Uh-oh.
We are here at WRP. Now, listen, we're doing our thing. We're doing our thing here at the station. All the shows, everything else. Rod's doing a great job. But DK is in the spotlight now. She's on the sidelines of the Eagles game. She's in the Super Bowl. That's big time.
It is big time.
It's big time for her. She's undefeated since she took over. Right?
Yes, they are undefeated. Yep.
And then Ashland.
Yep.
Rising star.
Yep.
So what I was going to say is we have two of the rising stars in the city.
Yep.
When you look at DK and you look at Ashland Sullivan. I mean, I've had a chance to listen to a few of Ashland's shows.
Yep.
At night. I've enjoyed them. She does a great job with the hockey and everything else she covers.
Yep.
Man, she's all over the place, man.
Yeah. As far as rising stars, they are both rising stars.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Taking over way past you, Jack, I think.
Well, my star's fading.
Yeah, it is fading.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
listen, you had a great moment. You had a good run, man.
Yeah, dude, the standing ovation was a great moment.
August of 23? Does it burn brighter than that?
Man, yeah. I tell you, August of 23, man, you were in a...
A different stratosphere.
Man,
yeah,
you were in a different stratosphere.
No. Now look at me, right? No, so basically I'm a child star. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm basically just holding on for dear life. For
next Jack Todd
10
Bridges
years.
Fritz
no.
over there.
No, he's the, what's the guy?
Macaulay Culkin?
No, Philip Seymour.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah, but in...
R.I.P.?
No, Along Came Polly.
Oh, I love that. He's a great...
Remember, he was the... He's the former child actor.
Oh, yeah. That
he
is
still living off his childhood stardom.
I almost think Jack's going to walk around with a T-shirt that says, I started the standing O.
Yeah. Well, if he plays worse.
Yeah.
I didn't start it. So.
And at number one, still there, Tim McManus, who has been steady
T-Mac.
Through
steady
the entire
Eddie.
Time.
T-Mac.
Steady
Eddie.
Yep.
Well, he can't be T-Mac. We already got a T-Mac.
Yeah, we got a T-Mac.
Yeah. get your calls right after Ike tells you about the great Surfside.
Well, I'll tell you.
What?
You're subtle as the bee in subtle.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know.
No, you're right.
Yes.
It's my point. My fault. I should be ready.
Well,
I just wanted to blame you.
We all.
So I got my papers together.
This is for each other.
All right, Birds fans. Listen, I'm bringing you Game Day Essentials. We don't have a game this week. Actually, we do have a game this week. You guys want to watch flag football?
No.
Yeah, well, none of our guys will be in the game, but that's the only football we'll have on this week. You can enjoy it with Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and the Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, both absolutely delicious and available in the convenient variety pack. Now, each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation. A great watch party starts with what's in the fridge, so stock it up right. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the official cocktail of Philly sports. Ask for it at your local bars, liquor store, and grocery stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, now that PA changed that law, you used to just be able to get Surfside at a liquor store, but now you can get it wherever they have alcohol. So beer distributor, grocery store.
Yeah, man. How about that?
Gas station, all that sort of stuff. 215-592-9494. OG Wade, you're on WIP. What's up, brother?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG.
What's good? What's good? Hey, listen, man. Hey, Spike.
Yes, sir.
The insider thing, I don't know if you want to equate a reporter openly reporting as insider stuff. Like, there was nothing insider about that. I mean, if you want to give her credit for just
wait a minute.
A good report.
She was within... Hold on. She was in the practice facility and got the player to talk about things that happened within, and not only say source or report, she went and got the information from the source itself. Mm-hmm. That is all we beg for when these reports come out is, oh, unnamed sources.
Yeah, unnamed sources. Yeah.
We have a named source right here. Ashlyn Sullivan, you're just jealous you haven't been in the top five in months because you gave us trades and everything.
Bogus,
happened.
Yes, exactly.
You and Chris from Middletown, bogus.
So you got a guy that damn near sets the damn building on fire to say, hey, I'm not happy, willing to talk. Like, AJ talking, brother, is not a damn, an anomaly. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's him saying he got chewed out? Him saying he got chewed out? I'm sorry. That is a scoop.
I don't believe he was saying he got chewed out.
Really?
Right, yes. Right, nobody's chewing out A.J. Brown.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, nobody's chewing out A.J. Brown. I think he meant some chewing out.
Of other people.
Yes.
Wow. Well, still, regardless.
The whole accountability thing.
Right. Right. Well, so.
We need that accountability. Just accountability.
OG, if you want to be in the top five, you're going to have to come with a real report at some point, not just your nonsense.
Hold on.
And we found out your four-point system is completely fraudulent because the math doesn't work.
Hey, hold on now. But the Eagles won the four-point system on Sunday.
Yeah,
so
but...
It's working.
Yeah.
It ain't did what you said it would do. So when we get to that bridge, we cross it then. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm. But listen, man, I'm going to say this here. There's a lot of fraud going on this radio station, on this show, because I'm trying to figure out who the hell in the NFL is an elite quarterback, Ike.
Well.
And Spike.
Well.
Can y'all please let me, just tell me. Well, because.
Well, are you asking Ike or me?
Well, both of us.
Both of y'all. Both of us. Y'all can help out each other. You can help each other out here.
Well, I'll let Spike give you his elite quarterbacks.
My four elite quarterbacks in the NFL currently are Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Now, that list, in that list you just gave,
yes,
there's only one quarterback that's done things that Jalen's never done.
Yes.
So... how is Jalen not elite if Jalen done more than all them other guys you just named? Jalen
well, he doesn't do more. He doesn't do
more.
Well,
so he's accomplished more.
I don't care about his accomplishments.
Something like we can't debate. Like, it's not debatable.
Well, hold on. Are MVP awards accomplishments? I think they are.
Yes, they are. Yep.
Okay,
especially
so
in Sixers land.
Lamar has two. Josh Allen is about to have his first one. Patrick Mahomes, we're not even talking about Mahomes because we know Mahomes is what he is. So here is my point, OG, is that for you to be an elite quarterback, the offense has to be based around you. And if the most successful season you've ever had is when the offensive coordinator and head coach and offensive line decide to minimize your role, that's hard to call you elite. That's all.
Okay, now I'm a counter that. First of all, this year is not Jalen's most successful year.
It's the team's most successful year.
Okay, his most successful year was in 22, where he led the team to the Super Bowl.
Yes, but he's not as good as he was in 22. He's just not.
Says who? You?
Everybody?
Eyes.
He was runner-up for MVP that year, OG, and this year he's like 10th. He's an afterthought.
Okay, I got you on that one. I got you. Now, check this out.
Yeah.
The fact that Jalen Hurts has the ability, year in and year out, to not underperform in terms of the accomplishments as far as where his team ends up at.
Well, they were eliminated in the first round twice, and the second...
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so not every year, but 2 years.
The first year that they eliminated in the first round was his rookie, was his first starting year, which was not unexpectable, okay? Last year...
Well, Joe Burrow got to the Super Bowl in his second starting year.
Well, Jalen did too. And performed better than Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so what I'm saying is...
Well, and he's back in his second Super Bowl. He's in his second Super Bowl.
Yes, and he can...
Don't lose steam, OG. Keep it up. Let's go.
You can thank Saint Saquon for that. You can thank Joe Shane for Jalen Hurts' second Super Bowl.
And the best defense in the league.
Yeah, the number one defense in the league and the best... Baldy just called Saquon the best player in the NFL. It's not bad to have him in the backfield.
And a top three receiver. And a top 10 receiver.
And the best offensive line.
I mean, I'd hope he'd win football games. Jesus.
Guys, calm down.
I can't. It's ridiculous.
I know you're trying to throw with the OG. It's nice, but it's cute. But calm down.
I actually think you're losing this.
Yeah, it is a big old swing and a miss.
No. Here's my point here.
Yeah.
You still ain't gave me no accomplishments that was greater than Taylor's. You gave me Lamar with two MVPs. Outside of that, Lamar's out of it. He gets 2 points for that, my man.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, OG.
He's on his way to a second Super Bowl.
I'm excited by that. I don't need you to ruin my vibe by because I am proud of this team. You are a one guy thing. I am a team guy. I want the team to win the Super Bowl. And I can be honest, not every player on the Eagles is the best at their position. Not every player on the Eagles is elite. That's fine. They are a great team. And Jalen is part of that team and has done a really good job this year. But he is not at the level of those other quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Okay, and I'm glad you just capped that off with your opinion.
Well, of course it's my opinion.
Yeah, right. And your opinion stinks.
So last thing, OG. If you asked 30, if you asked every NFL general manager if they would rather have one of those four guys or Jalen, what percentage of them do you think would pick Jalen?
I would probably say 9 out of 10 of them.
Oh, well.
That wouldn't pick Jalen. That would pick them other guys.
Okay, so guess what? So you say it's my opinion. My opinion is like shared by a lot of people.
Right, but guess what?
Yeah.
How many times them guys been wrong?
You've been wrong a lot, too.
How many times have those GMs been wrong? You know what I'm saying? So that's why Howie is the best damn GM.
Well, he gave Carson the same contract he gave Jalen.
And he tried to move off Jalen multiple times.
Yeah, he tried to trade for Deshaun Watson. He tried to trade for Russell Wilson.
That's what Charles said. He never did that. First of all, Jalen was their plan. Jalen was something that they planned to do. Yeah, and my insider stuff is, yeah, Lincoln Riley is the one that got Jalen Hurts drafted here. Punks, okay?
I
know a whole damn lot that you don't know.
And you can't say OG Wade for one name because OG Wade is two names.
Ah.
Yeah, get him out of here.
Give him a chance.
Yes. Cut him right off. So everyone, if you're new to the show, at 5 o'clock every day, we do a wonderful segment led by our own Jack Fritz called the Top 5 at 5. Jack, could you give us a hint at what's coming up in the Top 5 at 5?
The five things you might not have known about Ike Reese.
Oh. Well, we all know the text line comes for me and the Top 5 usually comes for you.
All right. Maybe these are some things that I don't know about myself.
Yep.
You know, one of these days with him not firing back at you, it's going to end. You're going to catch him on the wrong day.
It's going to work against you, yes.
Yep. All right.
He's gotten away with it for a few years.
He sure has. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.